You're listening to DVD Talk Radio.
Greetings, pod people. This is Cine Schlockerama columnist Noel Gross back again with another Schlockcast. This time we're going to talk about High Tension. I don't think there is a better title for this picture ever. High Tension is exactly what it is. It's a film utterly without relief. I think any flick that you have where very early on you see a fella fillet himself with a victim's severed head, I think you're in for an unusual time. And I think as viewers go... A self-proclaimed cinch-slugger like myself is pretty jaded, and this film really affected me. But it exhausted me, but I wanted to see it again immediately after it was over. Even the chirpy opening scenes are squirmy because they're undercut with these sort of dire dream sequence and some hospital footage in the beginning. It's an extraordinarily wrenching experience. It's true that, you know, horror certainly ebbs and flows, and I think we ebbed quite a bit in the 90s with the pop slashers, and it got a little juicier again when werewolves returned, and of course zombies are back and with a vengeance. But I think there's no question that Alex Aja and partner Greg Levasseur, those are very French names, aren't they, have set a new high watermark, and they've done it with buckets of the red stuff. Who would have thought that it would be the French who would know more and have more respect for our horror heritage than stateside filmmakers? Hollywood has a lot to learn, or rather relearn. Because this flick gets it. It's a survival picture that eventually revs into a revenge picture, and then pretty much takes a chainsaw literally to everything you thought you knew up until that point. And it just gets a hold of your gut and never lets go. Yeah, even the soundtrack. And I don't think you can underestimate the effectiveness of the soundtrack. It rumbles, and you know, talk about getting to your gut when you're listening, you know, to this or watching the picture on your home theater. That bass rumbles and just gets into your gut and just keeps you on edge the entire time. It makes your heart race. Lots of times it makes your heart stop and stop for long periods of time when you realize that you're not breathing. How many times have we seen a cornfield, a golden cornfield? And, Alex and Greg are able to make a cornfield scary again. We Cinch-Lockers have seen folks diced and sliced in every sort of way imaginable. But somehow here it's fresh. Somehow it's more real and it's more disturbing than I can remember seeing in a long time and maybe ever. And, I guess really there's no somehow about it, because you've got a effects maestro like Gennetto De Rossi. He's to thank for that, or maybe he's rather maybe he's to blame for that. But the man, he did Fulci pick, so he knows his groove, right? And he really comes through with this picture. I mean, he turns a gal into a human Pez dispenser, and let's see, I don't think we'll ever be able to move furniture around the house and not think of High Tension. Just every sort of dismemberment you can imagine is somehow in this flick. But you know what got to me the most was that stinking shard of glass at the end of the picture. Man, that hurt. Oh, I admit I squealed like a squeamish schoolgirl when that I don't even want to think about it again. Anyway, probably said too much about particulars. It's one of these flicks where Yeah, you sort of know the setup and you know bad things are going to happen, but believe me, you don't really know. And the things that you think you've seen, oh yeah, I saw this in Maniac, or I saw this in Saw, I mean Texas Chainsaw, or anything. Alex and Greg, they take it different places. They are aficionados of our horror heritage. And they take it just to new heights or depths, I guess, depending on how you look at it. I think you psychoanalytical cinéschlockers out there are going to have a lot of fun with this picture. Of course, you psycho cinéschlockers are going to have fun, but the psychoanalytical ones out there, the ones that are going to kind of rub your chins and think deep thoughts about this picture, you're going to have a lot of fun because there's a lot to mull over here. Especially, when does all the trouble start in this flick? Think about that after you watch it. Think, when does all the trouble start? And I'll tell you, I'll give you, I'm cut to the chase. It starts when our heroine retires to the boudoir and indulges in a little self-gratification. So mom was right, wasn't she? Yes. You'll grow hair on your palm and bad things will happen. The flick also lends credence to my previously espoused kiddo and canine killing theories. While on the commentary, Alex and Greg acknowledge their influences, but I think they're being a little too modest here. I think they're being way, way too modest, actually. We've got the Quentin Tarantino of horror with these two. Quentin pulled all the stuff in and spit it all back out in exciting new ways. This is what Alex and Greg do, and I don't think I'm overstating that. They do a really good job with the track, even. It's a little hard for us to understand with their French accents and all. I'm sure they probably would have a hard time understanding me, because a lot of people have a hard time understanding me, except my fellow Texans. There's also a very thorough making of, and I especially like this truncated commentary that Lionsgate did, where they just took Cécile de France and Alex and had them do commentary on selected scenes, and you can listen to them all at once. It runs about an hour, but I've listened to many a commentary, and this is much better than hearing a full-length commentary that doesn't have is enough energy to sustain it for that long. Here, there's just enough perky patter to make it fun and interesting. We hear just enough, from her, and without getting into repetition and loss of energy. I think that's probably the way to go in the future. Instead of having five commentaries that you got to slog through, save us the trouble. Don't give us this thing that sucks. Cut it down like they did here, and be very specific about it. And then you've got something. You wouldn't just give us a 2-hour documentary that sucked. You'd cut it down into 30 minutes that rocked. And I think they've done that essentially here in the form of a commentary. It's great. And Lionsgate took a lot of hell for what they did here in the States. They didn't think that we could handle a French language horror picture, so they dubbed it into English and changed up the plot and just made us all mad. Well, they are saving face here with the DVD, the unrated DVD. Of course, you got three versions of the flick, and the only one worth a hill of beans is the original, French language thing with the subtitles. We can read, horror fans can read too. But the Frankensteinian version with the dubbed version where they sound like chipmunks and all that kind of stuff, that's on there too. Anyway, 5 stars, highly recommended. It's so goddamn good that I'd put it right on a shelf next to The Hills Have Eyes, which is actually a relief because Alex and Greg just got done shooting a Hills remake in the Moroccan desert, and I, for one, cannot wait. Now, after High Tension, you're going to need to chill out and get your nerve back, and I think I've got just the thing for that. It's called Razor Blade Smile. I guarantee it's the best female bisexual kung fu vampire assassin flick that you'll ever see. It stars the scrumptious Eileen Daly as Lilith Silver, who struts around in a stunning array of sinfully snug cat suits, double-fisting hand cannons, blowing dudes away, snogging young vampire wannabe girls, and even pulls out a sword at the end and beheads a lot of folks. It's a big mess, but it's a lot of fun. It's sick, it's sleazy, it's got all sorts of funny wry wit, typical sort of British humor. Christopher Adamson especially hams it up as Lilith's boyfriend, Stefan. He speaks in this halting, slow, halting way in which you think that he's concerned that his fake vampire choppers are going to come shooting out of his mouth at any moment. But he's funny. The whole thing works. It's so much fun. It actually just barely predates Blade. But I think Cinchloggers are especially going to wonder how much the picture Underworld owes to Razorblade Smile, especially Kate Beckinsale's wardrobe. I think there's a lot of consistencies there. Now, I reviewed this flick ages ago. Apex released it, and of course Apex and Unipix went under, and we lost a few pictures for a while, including, of course, Ice Cream Man and Jack Frost. And Razorblade Smile was one of those. And now it's back, and better than ever. They've got this brand new 5.1 audio, anamorphic widescreen, whole nine yards. Especially liked the making of doc. I really, really want one of those theatrical posters. They kick ass. Oh, if I can find one of those, I'm going to be tracking those down. The commentary, on the other hand, director and great director, I want to see Razorblade Smile 2, definitely, Mr. Jake West. And anything else you've got, I think you've got a lot of talent. He shares a commentary with Miss Daly, who he gets a little too giggly for it to be that entertaining. And I appreciated some of the outtakes and deleted scenes. 4 stars, highly recommended. This is a great flick and an underappreciated flick. If I'm going to sit down and watch a vampire movie, you know, give me Eileen Daly and give me those cat suits. Those are something else. The next two films feature cameos by Troma president and creator of the Toxic Avenger, Lloyd Kaufman. And both he plays a drunk. So clearly some typecasting going on there, right? He's better, actually, in The Janitor, and that's the one we're going to talk about first. This is a flick that I enjoyed a heck of a lot more than I thought I would. It's been sitting around here at Cinechlockerama HQ for a while now. And I popped it in just the other night and had a hell of a time. It was great. It's your basic story of a homicidal custodian looking for romantic fulfillment, but instead the world whizzes on him, literally. So he kills and kills and kills some more. It's got outrageous gore, sick and twisted humor, at least a half dozen melon-heavy breasts and a slew of dead bodies, including a horrible holocaust at a sorority house. It's got double emasculation that will make you cross your legs for sure. It's probably the best Troma flick that Troma didn't actually make, at least in recent years. I give it 3.5 stars. Highly recommended. They do the, you know, Trey Parker, Matt Stone, drunken commentary thing, and it's, believe me, it's unlistable. Don't even try. Appreciate the effort, guys. But they make more than make up for it with all the other extra goodies on there, including the short film that inspired it, which is actually sort of funny because for whatever reason they no longer had the rights to the soundtrack, so they had to dub in all new voices and put in temp music and... You know, it's a lot of fun, and there's extra flesh in there. So hey, don't discount that. Other than Lloyd Kaufman, these flicks share another cast member, and that's Larry Butler. And Janitor, he plays the STD obsessed boss of the company where the janitor works. And William Winkler's Frankenstein versus the Creature from Blood Cove. He really, really, really chews up scenery as a mad scientist that's loosely, you know, an ode to Vincent Price. This is Winkler's follow-up to the Double D Avenger. That's a flick so nice they released it twice, I guess just so Joe Bob Briggs could take a crack at it. I liked this one a lot more, maybe because I'm not really into Hooter humor. Here, Bill does a great job of saluting old-time creature features. It's really played pretty straight, except for Gary Cavanello's Percy Featherstone, and I guess you can probably gather by the name where that goes. It's shot in black and white, looks fantastic, great camera work, a lot of attention to detail, really good costuming, especially the creatures. I'm a big fan of the creature from the Black Lagoon, and so I tended to side with the creature from Blood Cove because, you know, they look a lot alike, except for the heads are very different, of course. Have to admit, though, I was distracted a lot by the scantily clad bikini models who would scream and their tops would pop off. So yeah, Bill's got all three going this time. He's got blood, he's got breasts, and beasts, which is different than the last time because he did Double D Adventure and didn't have any breasts in it. How can you have a ode to Hooters and no bare breasts? Anyway, 3 stars recommended. Again, the doc is better than the commentary, but I think if you're into some of the technical aspects, you may enjoy this commentary a little bit more. But they really do a great job with the making of doc. It sort of introduces all the different characters, and you get to see Bill audition strippers, which is, you know, I think any time that you get to see you know, a guy, you know, with the straight face say, yeah, can you grind a little bit more? You're not quite selling it. Well, hats off to Bill on that one. He's a trooper, and he's holding up the B arts to their highest level. Oh, and there's an extra that you absolutely can't miss. It's very funny. It's when Frankie gets a lap dance from porn siren Selena Silver. What a pro that one is. Quite a catalog of work behind her. All right, I think that's going to do it for another Slotcast. Just to recap, we had High Tension, 5 stars, highly recommended. We had Razor Blade Smile, that's 4 stars and highly recommended. And we had The Janitor, also highly recommended. That's 3.5 stars. And finally, we had William Winkler's Frankenstein versus the Creature from Blood Cove. 3 stars recommended. Don't have any giveaways this time, but I did want to let CineSchlockers know that I will be prowling the grounds of the Chiller Theater Expo after all. I didn't think I was going to go, but the guest list is just too attractive. Well over 100 genre luminaries of all stripes, including the great Blood-Faced Reunion. I get to visit with Herschel Gordon Lewis, and never met Mal Arnold and Connie Mason. I'm looking forward to that. Also, I have a question about that I'd like y'all to email me on. I'd like to know how y'all feel about the Schlockcasts versus the written column. I'm finding that I don't have as much time for the written column, and the blogging and the Schlockcasts work out well for me. But if they're not jiving for you guys, you know, I don't want to inflict them on you further. So give me some feedback at feedback@cineschlockerama.com. That's feedback@cineschlockerama.com. And until next time, this has been Noel Gross. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to DVD Talk Radio. Find DVD Talk Radio online at dvdtalkradio.com.